and Kathy Dawes now, along with Manhattan Mayor Ushiretti and City Manager Ron Fear. I want to remind our listeners, 537-1350, toll-free, 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. And do want to let people know that our mayor has to leave a little bit early today, so if you have questions specifically for her, you might want to get those in that first half hour or so. But I guess, of course, a meeting tonight, and let's just kind of go down that agenda if we could, Ron.
Sure, Kathy. Starting off with the consideration of a first reading of an ordinance to amend our Manhattan Urban Area Comprehensive Plan by adopting and incorporating the proposed Aggieville Community Vision Plan. And it would so it makes a chapter within the Comprehensive Plan. This planning process really started back in March of 2016. There's been a lot of community input. There's been meeting with businesses in Aggieville and property owners in Aggieville. There were focus groups, an open house, several different city advisory board members meetings that held meetings and input regarding this. There was a community-wide survey. There were actually 4,227 participants that responded to that. There was a business owner survey of 35 businesses that responded. It basically creates several kind of unique areas within Aggieville. There's three sub-areas within the area. There's the historic core district of Aggieville, which is, of course, Morrow Street, where the goal there is kind of to preserve the character and nature that kind of exists there today. Then there's also to the north, the Bluemont Anderson Corridor, and to the south, the Laramie Corridor. And the concept is really to kind of try and increase the density around the perimeter of Aggieville. So on those edges of Aggieville to allow for a little more higher density, you know, similar to the Bluemont across the street on the north side, the Bluemont Hotel, there could be a mixed-use development is desired with additional businesses, office space, and some residential that could be a component of that. There's been quite a few developers that have shown some interest in Aggieville, and that's why we've basically told those we really want to do this community-wide planning effort to kind of see where we want Aggieville to grow up to be. And so there's been a lot of different aspects. You know, we just finished a downtown redevelopment project in the core area of downtown a few years ago that focused on upgrading some of the utilities, increased sizes of water lines, new water services to the businesses, some sanitary sewer and stormwater improvements in those areas, obviously a new streetscape with new hardscape and new pedestrian crosswalks, new plantings, those sort of things. And so part of that will be looking at those concepts in Aggieville for similar types of things. We know there's some utility needs there. We've got some older water lines that are smaller than what they should be. And so that part of that utility upgrade is part of that. And then we have a bigger parking and transportation problem in Aggieville than we do downtown. And so just analyzing those aspects a little deeper and looking for options, really trying to look at, you know, our garages. If you're going to increase the density, you're going to have to probably increase the parking to accommodate some of that higher density. And so that's probably going to look at some parking structures. And so it's, you know, the team that's been involved in this has involved a wide group of folks. And I think there's been a lot of very good input. There's a nice little video that has some modeling that occurs, and the commission will see that and share it. The commission has had a work session on it previously, and so I look for some good input this evening.
Yeah. Mayor, you have been working on this for a while.
We have, and this will be, I mean, the last one was done in 2005, so we're going to be looking at the update this for 2017. It's a two-part motion we're going to be making. One is to adopt this, and the second one is to have a consultant look at it, which is about $65,000 to $85,000 coming from economic development funds. I think it's going to be a good conversation, and probably a long, lengthy conversation as well, because there are so many aspects to it as we look at upzoning and downzoning and all the infrastructure needs that are there. We do have a caller.
We do have a caller. You'll need your set of headphones there, Mayor, and welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Quick questions. If we would look back 60 years and we didn't have any zoning, things came out pretty good. If we would take all the zoning off of the entire community and you wouldn't put a McDonald's in the middle of a neighborhood, you wouldn't put a gas station in the middle of a neighborhood, you'd put it on a highway, let the best, highest and best use of the property take precedent, and we'd save a lot of meetings and a lot of heartache and a lot of discussion. The next thing is, we're talking about all this infrastructure we're doing and all these fancy sidewalks and all this stuff. The biggest question is, where's all the money going to come from? I just don't understand it. We're putting a diamond intersection in. We do the downtown. We got the streets. We got people down there working, doing all the landscaping. Everybody's paying for that. I just question where and when do we get full, and how much is enough? I'll hang up and listen. You're all doing a great job, especially Kathy on K-Man. She's the best interviewer in the North American hemisphere.
I agree. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. And, you know, I don't know. I saw some quizzical expressions as he was talking about, you know, the differences in zoning and through the years. But I don't know, Ron, do you want to address it first?
Two parts there, obviously. Yeah. You know, I think zoning is important. People have an expectation when they invest in a property, and they have some development guidelines with regard to that property of at least what the property is today, and then we have a land use plan that envisions kind of what the property could be in the future. Now, some of that can obviously change as you get if you locate near a commercial area and have a neighborhood residential areas. That was a big discussion in our downtown redevelopment project. Was you know, 4th Street was kind of shown as a certainly between Bluemont and at least Leavenworth primarily was kind of the demarcation line that we wanted to keep the residential component west of their residential. And so, but if you did invest in property near that and there's higher demand, that's you're probably mm-hmm. going to grow some of those existing commercial areas a little broader first before you go just plop some new commercial down somewhere else. Obviously, the traffic patterns influence that a lot as far as our street infrastructure is. But, you know, zoning's been around a long time, and I think most of the people have a belief that if they're investing in property under a current zoning, that it's, you know, the likelihood that it's going to stay that way can be somewhat predictable for the most part. Things can always change.
You know, I just wanted to add, we do have the Unified District Is it ordinance?
The UDO.
UDO. Mm-hmm. So that group is going to be looking at our zoning areas and looking at compliance and all of those codes that are around these areas. And they did indicate maybe we have too many. Maybe we can do better at it. Maybe we should consolidate a few of those things, simplify it, but still have it such that people know what they're getting. I think what we want to do is when people have a residential home or something like that, they don't want to see it an encroachment of sorts. Of you know, something else coming there that they didn't expect. When you move into a certain place and you buy a home, you have certain expectations. And I think, and a business has certain expectations when they're setting up their commercial area too. And we've heard people like Tim Schultz mention something, you know, about the Grand Mere things that are going on. So I think we're going to be looking at a more long-range plan here. And there is something to be said for having zoning areas, but maybe we have too many, and we're going to see how to make that a little bit better. And I know you're probably going to address the funding sources you were talking about for the Diverging Diamond and all the other infrastructure needs that we have. Most of these things, well, at least the Diverging Diamond, I believe some of it's coming from KDOT.
Yeah, about two-thirds is coming from a KDOT grant.
Right, and we waited on that for many years.
Actually, we had hoped to get that quite a while back.
But, right.
You know, those are opportunities, and you have to kind of decide, well, are you going to go with this, or are you going to Are you going to say no to it, and then, you know, will that opportunity come back later? So
we're jumping off the agenda a bit, but I have had a lot of people ask me about the Divergent Diamond again, and I was trying to remember, since I don't cover you as directly as my City Hall reporters, the history of that. And I know there were a lot of discussions about why you went that direction. And
there is a lot of discussion.
And I'll remind us if you could.
Yeah. Sure. You're going, and then I'll speak.
One of the there were several different options that you could make, you know, additional left-hand turn lanes. Primarily the focus was on the southbound traffic that would go underneath the underpass and then make a left turn and go east on Fort Riley Boulevard or K-18. And that right now there's a single turning lane and there's a signal there, and whether or not that would accommodate the traffic best in the future. At times it's, you know, been backed up to the police department building past the other interchange exits. And so they looked at a roundabout at those interchange intersections, and then this diverging diamond concept came up. And it's one where it really will help relieve that particular turning movement significantly by creating less barriers. It'll be a change for folks to get used to. I've been through several now, though, in other areas. Travel the one in Junction. Ours will be a lot bigger than the one in Junction at US 77 and I-70. But I think for the most part, it will be a good improvement and will last for a very long time. And so that's more of a situation where there is some inconvenience there at peak times primarily. But it will be an improvement that will last a long time. And if we didn't make that improvement at this point, then, you know, would we be in a position to get that grant funds for an improvement later?
Right. And, Ron mentioned the one in Junction City. So theirs is a smaller version of what we're getting. But one of it is we're growing. And they're estimating that Manhattan will probably have anywhere from 75 to 80,000 people in the next 20, 25 to 30 years. And that's quite an impact as far as growth. But then we have a lot of traffic going through. And this eases that flow of traffic so you don't have congested areas. And, you know, people are still trying to understand the roundabouts. So they're going to have a difficult time getting used to a Diverging Diamond, but we've progressed so much, even with just our infrastructure going from two lanes to four lanes in some areas, having larger sidewalks, and all of this is benefiting our city. And this is something, when we talk about funding, it's either coming from KDOT or our taxpayers have approved these to some extent. So if we don't do it now, we're going to have actually feel more congestion and pay for it in the long run. So.
Why don't we go ahead and take a break? It's about 9:19, and again, we have with us today Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy, also City Manager Ron Fear. I know we have a lot more agenda to get through, and anything the mayor wants to highlight before she has to leave. And you're listening to In Focus, News Radio KMAN 537-1350 if you have questions or comments.